B'ez Hashem Mizbach, we begin Davav, the in Mesach Tismayit, cut in four lines down at the top of the Yamud, where the Gemara continues elucidating an item mentioned in the Braisa of the previous Daf, which we were talking about, the Pesach Pras, a few different types of Pesach Pras, that's specifically of the area that is plowed over. So in the related discussion we had, if let's say someone finds, which we're going to continue with that theme right now, shortly, regarding that of marking an area where there's a grave, if there was a person doesn't know which one of the Beis HaPrasa was because it was marked. If there's trees, the Tanakhama says, then you know for sure it was plowed, and then it's not going to have the same severity of the Tumah as the Halach of Sadeh Sheneva Bekeba. On that, our Gemara quotes Rabbi Yehuda Omer. He said, no, we can't just assume that it was plowed. Until there's an elderly person or Tamil Chacham, not everyone's proficient and knowledgeable in these halachas, and therefore you cannot go with the leniency of Charisha until you know definitively from a Tamil Chacham. Which Amabaya, Abaya says, no, what we learn from this statement of Rabbi Yehuda is, if there's a Talmudic scholar in a town, all the town's obligations are imposed on him, because this Talmud is a professional in his expertise of Talmudic law, and therefore it's his responsibility to know these things, as we see from the statement of Rabbi Yehuda. Now, continuing with that theme that we said from the previous daf regarding the marking of an area, which we had mentioned in the Mishnah regarding things that are allowed to be done in Chalamoid, which we said marking the graves, and that's what got us into this whole conversation, why we mark graves to keep people away from Tumah. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda says, Matze Evan Mitsuyenes. If someone finds a stone that's marked with lime, Tachteo Tame. So beneath that stone is Tame. In other words, a person does not have to distance the marker from the stone, because the stone is very high above the ground. So people see the marker immediately before they even touch it. In contrast, we said in the previous daf regarding a field, we have to distance the marker a little bit because sometimes you won't see it until you come there and then you already touched it and you already hovered over and you already had the tumas of oil. But by a stone, you don't have to. So therefore, when you find the marked stone, so tachteh tummy, you say only what's beneath this tummy, because it's only directly beneath it that the marker is. Shtayim, if you find two stones that are marked, so beneath them are tummy, but between them, it depends. Im yesh sid beinehim, if there's lime between them on the ground, so beinehim tummy. So why is there lime between them? There's a marker too, to say that the tummy is all along the area between these two rocks. But if it ain't sid beinehim, if there's no lime between them, then beinehim tar, then between them is tar, and it's only beneath those two rocks that is tummy. Now the Gemara wonders, v'avakav teleka chayrish, even if the area between them has not been plowed over, you tell me it's going to be pure without lime? If you find one stone that's marked, tachteh dami, beneath it is going to be tuma. Shtaim, two stones. Im yesh chaydish b'nein, if it's plowed between them, b'neim tar, then between them it's going to be tar, because as it is, there's this suffix, and as we said, that charisha is another leniency regarding that it was plowed over. Now, vim la, but if it wasn't plowed, b'neim tame, between them is going to be tame, even though there's no lime. Because you mark the stones on either side, so they weren't concerned to mark the area between. So therefore, says the braisa, between them is going to be tummy. So you see that not like the teaching of Rabbi Yehuda, where we see that it's specifically going to be tahar only if it was plowed, and Rabbi Yehuda said that even if it's not plowed, it's going to be tahar as long as there's no lime. So Amar Papa, he says it's not a difficulty. Hach over here, when we're learning in the Braisa that if it wasn't plowed, it's going to be tamei, is keshasid shafach al roshehen, where the lime was poured on the tops of the stones, umru de lekan lekan. So it's not just on the stones, but it also has dripped down the lime on either side, meaning on the area between those two stones too. So therefore, that's what the Braisa is saying, yik hachayrish b'neim, so if it's plowed between them, so b'nei and tar, then the area between them is going to be tar. Because the aimer, machmas chayrish hud, and the girsa is not the ikpil, but the iklif, that I could say, oh, the reason why that this lime is here on the stones in the area between, because when they were plowing, they peeled off the lime from the stones and it fell there between them, so therefore it's going to be tar. But v'loy, but if it wasn't plowed, then sid de b'ni b'ni hu. So then this, that we have lime over here on the slope of these stones between these two rocks, is because they made a marker that it's over there to let you know that there's also tumma between them. And therefore, it's going to be v'tumma, it's going to be tumma. But without lime, then yes, if it's just on top of the rocks, but not meruda beinehem, then you don't have to have that it's plowed. And that was what Rabbi Yehuda's halacha was. As long as there's no lime over there, then you don't need charisha, and it's going to be tar. Here we're talking about where there was the lime poured, and there was meruda, lekan lekan. So then we're saying, oh, why is it here? Why is it sloping down towards the area between them? If it's charush, we say, oh, that caused it, so therefore it's not tummy. But if there's no charisha, then it's going to be tummy. But again, it's not a contradiction to Rabbi Yehuda. Now, Amr Basi says, related halacha, says, Meitzer echad mitzuin. If let's say you have a piece of property, and on one boundary is marked off, which we go always put the lime over there, which is the color of the bones, to say this tum over here. So who tame? That boundary is tame. B'chalas ad kulatar, but we presume the rest of the field is tar. Shnaim, let's say two boundaries are marked, heim tmeim, so those two boundaries are tame. B'chalas ad kulatar, and the rest of the field we presume is tar. Shlesha, three boundaries are marked, seheim tmeim, they're going to be tame. B'chalas ad kulatar, but the rest of the field is going to be tar. Arba, if they marked all four boundaries, heim tahayden, actually the boundaries are tar. B'chalas ad kulatmeya, and the rest of the field is going to be tame. Why? Because Damamara, like the master said, we don't distance the marker of an area that's tummy. You don't make it too far. So not to cause a loss of Eretz Yisrael, that you're marking of an area which is not tummy. So therefore, that's why they mark off all the four boundaries, that the whole field should be tummy. Now, when you do one boundary, so that wouldn't be sufficient to let you know that. It would only know, you wouldn't know where, so you mark off the full boundary, but that's only to tell you the whole field. And the reason why is because you can't distance the marker too far from the makam of the tumma. And if you only did it on one side, you wouldn't know how far it is. So therefore, we're saying that if it was on one side, that's only going to be tummy. You're not going to presume the rest of it is tar, because what do you mean, how far are you going? All four sides, that's telling you actually that that's the perimeter, so actually they're going to remain tahar. Because it's just telling you what's from within it, that's the area, because you actually don't do it right on top of that. So they remain tahar, which are the four boundaries, and what's inside is going to be tamei. The Mishnah said that b'yetzin afal aklaim. We said that on chalash ha-mayid, unrelated to actual ha-malacha, but that on chalash ha-mayid, then by Pesach, they go out also on the climb of things that are starting to sprout and forbidden mixtures that are not allowed to be planted together, so they go out to tear that out. Says is that really so that we uproot the forbidden mixtures of growth on Chol HaMoed? But a minna seems to be contradicted from Mishnah Masechta Shkalim. The Mishnah says be'echad ba'adar, on the first of Adar, mashmin al shkalim. We make the announcement regarding the shkalim, meaning that the Jewish people, each one should bring their machzis hashekel, the trumas hashkalim, and their for the trumas hashkalim. Because on the first of Nisan, the pasuk says b'chodshei l'chodshei hashana, which you have to make a renewal of the new trumas. So we make an announcement on the first of Adar, so that in a month from then, they should already have the new shkolim that they went and bought, and brought the new karbonis on the first of Nisan. So to Vala Klaim, they also make an announcement regarding Klaim, that people should watch out, because things are starting to grow, and should not have a forbidden mixture. That's in the first of Adar. Bechamisha Asabai, on the 15th of Adar, Karinas and Megillah B'Kurachim, we read the Megillah on the walled cities that were walled from Dizi Yeshub Benun, which the regular cities are the 14th, but as Taisa points out, it's just that many things are on the 15th, therefore we just mentioned them this, because there are other things in the 15th of Adar, which is the Yitz and the Kavitz and Adrachim. They go out to take out the thorns from the roads, Ulisakin and Rechevis, to fix the streets, Volomanam Kvais, and to measure the Mikvais. The Mikvah has to have 40 Sa, which they would clear it out from all the garbage they got in there all throughout the winter. And because we're in the spring now, Vaisan called Tzacharab, they would do all types of public needs. And the Mitzayin Sekvaris, they would mark up the graves because it would get all washed away throughout the winter. And Ve'yotzin ala klayim, they would also go out for the klayim on the 15th of Adar. Now, why in the Gemara also ask on the rest of the Mishnah? Our Mishnah also said on Chol HaMoed, we fix the roads and the streets in Chol HaShemoed, but he was saying it's in the Mishnah Mishkalim, it's on the 15th of Adar. That's not a difficulty, because we could understand that it would be done in two different dates, because when they do it on the 15th of Adar, so there's still rain that will come and ruin that, so they have to fix it again in the Chol HaShemoed when you're further along in towards the summer where you're not concerned anymore. But by Kalayim, if you're already uprooted on the 15th of Adar, what are you going on again in the Chol HaShemoed? That's what the Gemara is asking specifically on Kalayim. To which the Gemara brings Rabbi Loza of Rabbi Yishev Chanina. Two different answers. Chanama 1 says, Kam be'bokar, kam be'ofel. That regarding the early sprouts, that you go on the 15th of Adar, and on the later ones that sprout later, you go on Chol HaMoed Shel Pesach. And Bacharam 1 says, Kam bezroim, kam beirokos. That on grain that comes before the Yerukas, before the herbs, that's on the 15th of Adar. For Yerukas, for the herbs, that's what we're saying in our Mishnah, you go out on Chalai Shal Moed. Now, Amar Abasi Rabbi Yechanan, however, he says, Lishonim, we didn't learn that you're not going to be going out at least before Adar and before Chalai Shal Moed. It's only one of those 2 dates. That's Ela She'en Nitzan Nikr. That's only if the sprouts are not recognizable yet. Of the Nitzan Nikr, but if the sprouts of the climb are already recognizable before that, then Yitzan Alein, you would go out and rip them out even earlier than these dates. Now, says the Gemara, Maishnu V'chayla Shal Moed Dinafkinah. Now, okay, so like we said, we pointed out these are not really related per se to Malacha. It's about an Isser of a public need of getting rid of the climb. Why specifically on Chayl HaMoed, of Chayla Shal Moed, are we going out to rip out the climb that... So Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Yechon, the Mishum Schar Pa'uli says, because of the wages of the workers, the Muzli Gabon, that is cheaper for us. In other words, we could hire workers cheaper because no one's working Chol HaShemayit. So people are just sitting around and says, hey, do you want to get rid of the client? We'll get a cheap rate. Therefore, we do it on Chol HaShemayit, which Taisus brings that the Gemara later on, David Gimel Menav, tells us that you're allowed to hire a worker if he doesn't have what to eat. So you could hire a worker, and or maybe you could say that for mitzvahs, it's permitted to go ahead, and even those who would say it's forbidden, but since it's for mitzvah, you're allowed to go ahead and have a work or do this work on Chol HaShemayit. And therefore, we do it on Chol HaShemayit. Now, Amar Zvid, Vitam, some say it's Rav Masharsha, well, Shema Mina, from the fact that we're trying to get the cheapest labor to rip out the claim, the Ki Avinalu Schar, that when we pay the workers who are getting rid of the claim, that we're giving them from the elevations of the chamber of the machtzah shekels that all the Jewish people give, and it's coming from hekdesh money. Because if you were thinking to say that it's the homeowner who we're going to his properties and saying, hey, you guys are climbing, we'll bring the workers, but you got to pay him, then yevinulu, then they have to give it. Let them give it some mynafkalaminai. What does it make a difference to us? Why are we sending out specifically a chilish shemayit because of the cheaper prices? What do we do it anytime? And even though you're not going to have a cheaper price, call Kama Dabayu whenever they want to do it, let them give it to them. Why do we care about how much he has to pay? Obviously, it's from the Truma Salishka. So as much as we could go ahead and minimize the cost for Hektish, that's why we're going to do it, and therefore that's why we do it on Chayla Shalmait, because we get a cheaper rate then. Now, says Gmavat Kama, now how much is considered climb that you have to nullify it and rip it out? So Amar Shmuel B'Yitzchak, he says, Kaisa Shanin, it's like that which we learned in Mishnah Masechta's climb. The Mishnah says, Kol Sa, it's a certain measurement, Sheshba that you have inside of that is Ketin Tumid Beis, Roiva, a quarter of a Kav, which is 1/24th of a Sa, of Zera Mimin Achar, of a seed from another type of species, which would make a climb. You might, that's what you have to minimize, where if you planted a quarter of a Kav, you would have to rip that out. That's considered the problematic amount of climb to have to rip it out. Says Gemara, but you're mayit? V'atanyu l'un nabraisa, hiskinu the institute chi, mafkirin kolas other kulo, that they made his whole field ownerless if he had climb growing over there. So what he's saying, you mayit, that all he has to do is minimize it by getting rid of the amount of the forbidden mixture, but we see his whole field becomes hafker. Says Gemara, like, that's not difficult. Kan koidin takano, when we're saying that he just has to be mayit, is before the takana, the institution. Kana acha takana, when we say mafkis whole field, it was after a certain ordinance that we made. The time like Luna Braisa. But Rishayin in the beginning, when the courts would come out and check people's fields, make sure there's no climb, so they would, when they would see climb growing by someone, they would tear it out, and they would throw it in front of the people's animals. So the homeowners had 2 things to be happy about. Achas, one, is shemanachshin, that great, the agents of the court are weeding Lehem for them, so the same, their fields, when they're taking out the climb, so now it's by default weeding it and taking out the bad. V'achas, and another thing they were having, was shemashlichel for them, that now they threw it for the animals and they're feeding their animals. So it's kind of the institute, she oiken, or they should tear it out, mashlichel adrachim, throw it on the roads. Okay, but v'adayin ho'yismeichet simchidel, they were still very happy, shemenachshin said the same, because they're weeding their fields, although the animals weren't getting to eat it, but great, you're doing weeding for us. So they weren't really invested. Heskinu, so they instituted she mafkir and kolas adakula that, okay, we're going to make your whole field hefker, pay attention, make sure there's no climb. And that, again, that was la'achat akana, but kain akana was just the halacha of Yimai. Ketin halacha, the next Mishnah, ketin the theme regarding the opening halacha of our Perek HaMasechta, the words of the first Mishnah, mashkin beis hashlachan, about watering a field on chol hamayim. So related halacha, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Aimer says, meishchin es hamayim, you could draw water, me'ilon le'ilon, from one tree to another tree, which from one tree to another tree halachically is like a sedeh beis hashlachan, is like an irrigated field, meaning, just like an irrigated field, you're allowed to water it because it would be a great loss. Also over here, trees, it would allow you to water from the one to another because it would be a great loss if you didn't. But above that, shliashka eskal asada, as long as you don't get and water the whole field, because the field is halachically qualified like a sedeh beis habal, like a non-irrigated, meaning it's watered from the rain. So that's not such a great loss. And therefore, one is allowed to go ahead and only water the trees, but not water the whole field. Now, zroyim shlei shasu lefnei hamoed. Regarding the seeds that, so to speak, didn't drink before the yomtiv, meaning they weren't accustomed to being watered constantly before yomtiv, so then lo yishakim hamoed, that you cannot water on chayil hamoed, because since you weren't consistently watering it before the yomtiv, so it's not such a loss if you don't continue to not water it on the chayil hamoed. But the sages permit by this and by this. In other words, by both cases of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, they permit you, first of all, to water the whole field and to water on Chayil Shel Mayid seeds that were not watered before the Yom Tov. And who are these Chachamim? It's Reb Meir that said on Dav Beis and Aleph that you could water from it even a Sedeh Beis Habal. You could take from the spring and you could water even a non-irrigated field, which is not such a loss. And therefore, that's the Chacham who say, yeah, even if it's not such a loss, you still let it go ahead and water. If it's not such a tercha, as long as it's a pseide, as even though it's not a pseide yisera, one it would permit one to go ahead and even laharvacha. We said in the Gemara, but the Reb Meir is the most lenient of all the opinions, and therefore he lets you water the whole field, and even if it's not such a loss. Now the Gemara qualifies. Zaman Rabbi Yehuda says this, that Rabbi Elazar says in our Mishnah, that you could take the water from tree to tree, but you can't water the whole field. But imhoisa sada mutunenes, but if it was a moist field and now is drying up, then mutra is permitted to water it even though it's a sedeh beis habal, even though it's a rain watered field. Because since it was moist up until now, if you don't water it, it would be a pseide yisera, it would be a great loss. And therefore, again, that those are the permissibilities that you're allowed to do on the chayil shemait. Tanam halachi, similar in the braisa, like Rabbi Yehuda said. When they said that you're not allowed to water them on Yom Tov, they only said only for seeds that were not consistently being watered before Chol HaShemayit. But regarding seeds that were being watered before Chol HaShemayit, so that we said that, okay, that you could continue watering on Chol HaShemayit. So that's one halacha, which we said in the Mishnah. But what we're bringing, like Rabbi Yehuda, is the next part. Now, if it was a moist field, so then mutter, then you're allowed to go ahead and continue watering now that it's getting dry. That's what Rabbi Yehuda was qualifying, and that we see like that in the Braisa. The Braisa continues. Now, the mashkin saw the gorid b'moid, but you're not allowed to go ahead and water a field that was always dry, because that's a dry field that doesn't have to be watered, and therefore that's unnecessary and not allowed to be done on chayil shemayit. But the sages permit by this and by this, meaning even not only by a moist field, but even by a dried field, and by seeds that were not watered before Chol HaShemayit. Again, like that's how we said in the Chacham in the Mishnah. Now, Amar Ravina, he says, Shema Mina, what we can infer from this is, Hai Tarbitza, regarding a garden, Shorili Tarbutza, you allow to sprinkle water on it, B'chayla Demayada, on Chol HaShemayit, even though there's not such a loss. What's the Raya? Because Sada Garid my time, what's the reason by a dry field that Chacham permitted you to go ahead and water it? Because the Afla, that which would take a long time to develop, Mashvil Lacharfa, and you're going to make it come out quicker, where there's no loss. Even so, as we said, Reb Meir in the Andav Beis, Laharvacha, he permits you to water it to have a gain. Sachanami, so then, same thing over here by the garden, you're allowed to sprinkle it, because Afla, Mashvil Lacharfa, what would take a long time to develop, you're going to do it quicker, and therefore that's allowed to be done on Chayil Shalmayit. Tanaban related, says, Abraisa, Marbitzin, you could sprinkle Sedei Lavan, a grain field, which is a beis habal, it grows from rainwater. It doesn't have to be irrigated. You don't have to hand water it. So you're allowed to sprinkle such a grain field b'shviz in the Shemitah year, which, according to Tosfos, brings that the way Rashi says it over here, is that we're talking about, a full watering would be forbidden in a stay beis habal, which is what a grain field is. But a little sprinkling, that would be permitted in the Shemitah year. But you cannot do this on Chol HaShemayit. Says the Gemara, Vatan Melutin, another price that says, Marbitzin, you could sprinkle a field, Bein B'moid, Bein B'shviz, not only Shemitah, but also on Chol HaShemayit, so they're a contradiction. So Rav Huna says, Leikash is not difficulty. Because ha, the brisa that says that you're not allowed to water it on Chayla Shal Mayed, that first brisa is Rav Eleza ben Yaakov, who he says that in our Mishnah, that you cannot water the whole field. Ha, this, that the second brisa is saying that it's not only on Shemitah, but even on Chayla Shal Mayed that you could sprinkle it, is Rabbanan, is the Chacham that we said before, that they permit you to water even the whole field. So it's not a contradiction, it's a machlekes. Tanya Dikulun, another brisa, Mabitzin stay loven. You could sprinkle a grain field, Erev Shvius, before the Shemitah year, Kadesh Yatsu Yerokas B'Shvius, so that vegetation will come out in the Shemitah year. Now, you cannot water it in the Shemitah year so that it comes out in the Shemitah year, but you can water it beforehand that it comes out in the Shemitah year. But not only that, Elishim Rabitzin stay loven B'Shvius. You could even sprinkle a grain field in the Shemitah year, Kadesh Yatsu Yerokas L'Matzah Shvius, that vegetation could come out on Matzah Shvius. What you cannot do is to water in this year for this year, which on the Shemitah year itself, that's forbidden to work the land, but to water from before for it, or for it for some for a post, that would be permitted to do on the Shemitah year. Then I'll look at the next Mishnah, qualifying again what's permitted to be done on Chayla Shemayid in regards to one's property. So the Mishnah says, Sadin Ese Ishus Vesach Barn. You could trap the Ishus, which the Gemara is going to explain what that is, and mice, Misedei Ha'ilon, from an orchard, which is a field of trees, Umisdei Ha'lovin, and from a grain field, because these creatures cause a loss to it. And you can do it even kadarka, even the normal way. You don't have to change how you would normally trap. That is b'mayid on chayla shemayid, and the b'shvi is on the shemitah year, which, as Rashi says, even though you can be fixing the field, which Tay says, why would this be a chiddush in shemitah? This is not working the ground. This is not agriculture. So, and actually, why would you be able to say that you now do it in the normal way? That says Tay says that when you're trapping these creatures, you have to get rid of the stones from the field when you're getting rid of the moles and the mice, and therefore there is a chiddush that we're still going to say you're permitted to do in the normal way, and it's not forbidden on the Shemitah year too. Now, Vachamam, the sages, they say, Misteha Ilin Kedarka. Yes, from an orchard, you could get rid of these creatures in the normal way because that's a great loss. But Misteha Lovin Shalai Kedarka, but from, and that's the Rebbe Huda, which is the Chachamim, but from a green field, that you have to do in not a normal way. You can't capture them in the green field in a normal way because it's not such a loss in the state love, and therefore we would require somewhat of a shinur. Another halacha, makarin es apirtza b'mayid. If let's say part of a wall fell down, you could go ahead and fix it on and wall it up on chayla shemayid. And the b'shvi is b'nikadarka, and the shmiti you could build it in the normal way, meaning initially, because although it looks like you're protecting the payers, we're not going to say that it's forbidden to be done on the shmiti year. So the Gemara clarifies my ishus when we said that you could trap the ishus and the mice from these fields on Chol HaMoed and Shemitah. What is ishus? I'm going to this as a bed yishain le'inayim. It's a creature that doesn't have eyes and it digs into the ground, which we call a mole. Amar Rav Bar Shlemi says, or V'itam HaSem says, Rabbi Yemer Bar Shlemi says, Mikro, what's a pasig that shows us that an ishus, which is the term we're giving in the Mishnah, is a creature that doesn't have eyes, which is the mole. Is a pasuk in Tehillim. It says, "Kamoi shavlul," like a snail, the temes, it melts, yahaloich, and it goes. In other words, when it goes out of its shell, so then it drips mucus from it until it just dissolves and dies. That's by a snail. Nefil ashes, that it collapses that of the ishus. Bal chazu shemesh, who doesn't see the sun. In other words, so to the ishus, suddenly falls to the ground and dies, where it doesn't see. So too is the wicked, that's what the pasuk is saying. But you see that the ishus is one that cannot see the sun because it doesn't have eyes. That's the mole. Talmud Lina Braisa, elaborating on this halacha of the Mishnah, Tzadin es ishus v'sachbarim, you could trap the mole and the mice, Misteh Halavan and Misteh Ilon Kedarkoi, from, like the Tanakama said, from the grain field and from the orchard in the normal way. And Umachiriv in Chayrin Namolim adds on another halacha, and one could destroy the ant holes. How do you destroy it? So B'Shem says, maybe offer Mechur Zeh, you bring the earth from this hole, and you put it into the other hole, and then they choke each other because they smell the earth and they don't recognize that earth, and therefore that causes them to self destruct themselves. But he qualifies this and he says, but it has to be that these two ant holes are on two opposite sides of the river. that since there's an interruption of water between these two ant holes, so they don't recognize the earth of the other one. And would like a gushar, that's because there's no bridge connecting over the river. And would like a gamla, there can't even be a one plank. It's not even like a bridge, it's like just one plank. And would like a mitzvah, it can't be even, which is even smaller than a gamla, that you could only go on such a thing when you tie a rope from the two sides of the river with two pegs and they hold onto and they go over this narrow bridge. Even that it can't have, because if it has any one of these things, well, the ants will recognize the holes of the other ones because they travel across no matter how small that thing is. Now, the Gemara continues to have a design of an ad kama. How far do these ant holes have to be that when there is a river between them and there's no bridge and they don't recognize the holes of the other one, that it would be considered far enough that they don't know it? It would be ad parsa, up until a parsa. So, but if there's no parsa between them, then even though there's a river and even though there's no bridge, they'll still recognize the holes of the other ones. Has to be at least a parsa between them to say that then they won't recognize, and then that's how someone would be able to destroy the ant holes. And again, that's another thing that we're saying, that it's permitted to be done on the Chilul Shamayit and on the Shemitah.